On this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, we check in on the latest news in the ASC industry and continue our discussion of the 2019 proposed changes to the ASC payment systems and quality reporting programs. Note that throughout this episode, we will be discussing various CPT-4 codes. CPT, better known as the current procedural terminology, is a copyright of the American Medical Association, and all rights are reserved by the AMA.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a biweekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource the regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys. Welcome to episode 32 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for Monday, August 6th, 2018, recording from our studio in Rochester, New York. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS. I'm here with John Gailey, the author of over 10 books about the ASC industry published through Eden Group Development, a nationally known speaker on all aspects of the industry, and the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, which provides regulatory oversight services to ambulatory surgery centers throughout the United States. And happy birthday, John.
Thank you. And this is what we do on my birthday, right? Record an episode. Oh, well. The big birthday celebration's this afternoon, though. Yes. So you guys treat me very well. Thank you. So I was in Alexandria at the offices of the ASC Association this last week. That took up 2 days. Well, a day plus travel. And that was for the Board of Ambulatory Surgery Certification Board meeting. I'm happy that now I am the immediate past president instead of the president. So I got to, instead of sitting at the end of the table, I got to sit at the side. So that was very nice.
Yes, and you got an award.
I did, yes.
You were very modest about it. I said, what's in the box?
Nothing. And we did have an opportunity to meet with Bill Prentice while we were down there, too, the board members. And Bill kind of gave us an update on what's going on in the association, as well as our excitement about the CMS regulations. So the ASC Association is still working on their analysis of that. We, of course, have been working on it at the same time. So I think between our podcast last week and this week, many of our listeners will hear an awful lot of pretty good news for most of them. But it was great to be there. It's interesting to finally have good news in the ASC industry when it comes to the regulatory environment. Definitely, things are loosening up a little bit. So, and probably the most exciting thing about this last week is our discussions at the board meeting about the upcoming CAPE exam. So CAPE, which stands for the Certified Ambulatory Infection Preventionist program, comes online. The first testing period will be in October, and effective August 1st, you can start signing up for it. So if you're interested in becoming CAPE certified, head over to the www.aboutcape, that's AboutCaipe.com. So Sue, we have not a lot of news this week. The summer tends to be a little bit quiet, beyond, of course, the CMS news. So why don't you just update us on the one thing that we saw out there?
Okay, there's a new AAHC tool that addresses medication discrepancies with a reconciliation practices toolkit. This focuses on avoiding medical errors and adverse drug events. So as we know, a key strategy in avoiding adverse drug events is making a list of medications a patient is currently using and comparing it to a single source document, also known as medication reconciliation. To educate ambulatory healthcare organizations on how to avoid preventable adverse drug events, HHC has released a new toolkit outlining the importance and the essential elements of medication reconciliation. That is available on the HHC website for HHC accredited organizations.
And I'll just put a word in for all the toolkits that HHC provides. Obviously, these are wonderful tools that people can use to maintain their accreditation, as well as obviously make sure that their quality programs are fully functioning. So a great toolkit dealing with a major issue right now. So let's take a short break. We'll come back and we'll kind of continue our discussion from last week on the CMS updates in 2019.
So we want to continue our discussion of the CMS proposed 2019 payment rates and Medicare quality reporting. But before we do that, let's quickly summarize what we talked about last week.
So let's start by talking about the one of the most major changes, which is the movement from the Consumer Price Index to the hospital market methodology for determining the rate of increase of the CMS rates.
Okay. Can you explain, well, to me and to the audience, what the hospital market basket, what that term means?
Sure. So up until the 2019 rates, the proposed 2019 rates, the increase in the rates, the ASC rates, has been based upon the Consumer Price Index, which includes all of those things like groceries, fuel for our cars, you know, home heating, things like that, mm-hmm. that really don't bear any relationship or don't bear much relationship to the types of cost increases that we have in healthcare. So the hospital market basket is what the hospital's rates are based upon, and that's based upon increases in drug costs, supplies costs, et cetera, it's all the various services, including medical services, mm-hmm. that go into it. So the hospital market basket is a much more useful tool, much more accurate tool to determine what types of increases we're actually sustaining within the ASC industry. So this is definitely a positive move. And as a result of it, it did increase our rate to about 2.0% in 2019 ASCs. Now, we have to remind everybody that this is an overall rate increase. This, as we're going to talk about in mm-hmm. our next section, various rates are going to go up and go down at different numbers.
Yeah, it's not across the board.
Absolutely not. That's correct.
It's an average.
And in 2019, in response to the recommendation of the President's Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis, CMS is proposing changing the packaging policy for certain drugs when administered in the ASC setting. And they're now going to provide for separate payment for non-opioid pain management drugs that function as a supply when used in a surgical procedure when that procedure is performed in ASC. So this is definitely a very positive move. It mm-hmm. tends to move outside of the existing methodology that they're using, but they're really trying to get ASCs as well as the whole healthcare industry to try to find non-opioid interventions that would reduce our opioid crisis. So do you want to talk a little bit about the Medicare quality reporting?
Sure. As we mentioned last week, many of the Medicare quality reporting measures were eliminated and they did not add any new ones. We want to review the ones that still remain, though.
Because so many of them are gone, mm-hmm. I thought it's a good idea to talk about that.
Yep. So they are ASC 11, cataracts, improvement in patient's visual function within 90 days following cataract surgery. That remains voluntary. Please note that if you choose to participate in reporting this voluntary measure, any data reported may become publicly available in the future. ASC 12, facility 7-day risk standardized hospital visit rate after outpatient colonoscopy data is pulled from claims previously submitted by the hospital that the patient visits within 7 days of the colonoscopy. CMS will make reports available to the ASCs to preview before publicizing the data.
So it's important about that measure, ASC 12, is that we don't have to do anything in the ASC industry. That is reported automatically by the hospitals.
Okay. And there are two new measures on which ASCs began collecting data during 2018, which they'll have to report through QualityNet in 2019. ASC 13, normothermia. This measures percentage of patients having surgical procedures under general or neuraxial anesthesia with a duration of 60 minutes or more in which the patient is at or above 98.6 within 15 minutes of arrival in the PACU. And ASC 14, unplanned anterior vitrectomy. This is the percentage of cataract surgery patients who have an unplanned anterior vitrectomy.
So this is actually very good. CMS has basically recognized that all the quality measures have been very favorable toward the industry. We really haven't had any major issues in that area, and they have removed those measures that have proven to be that the ASC industry continues to be at or above the industry standard. So this is very good that we're down to a very few number, which will greatly reduce the administrative burden that we're going to have over the next couple of years here. So let's talk about some of the items that we did not discuss last week. And we're going to start with the definition of ASC-covered surgical procedures. So since the implementation of the ASC prospective payment system, CMS has defined a surgical procedure as any procedure described within the range of Category 1, which is CPT-4 codes 10,000 through 69999. CMS has also included as surgical procedures those things that are described by level 2 HCPCS or HCPCS codes or by category 3 CPT codes that directly crosswalk or are clinically similar to procedures in the CPT range that CMS has determined do not pose a significant safety risk, would not expect to require an overnight stay when performed in ASC, and are separately paid under the outpatient reimbursement system. So, for example, there's a couple codes in the GI area that are within, that are obviously outside of the 10,000, the 69999 codes that are included in this. Okay. So using the existing definition of surgery excludes certain invasive surgery-like procedures such as cardiac catheterization or certain radiation treatment services that are assigned codes outside the CPT range. So CMS is proposing to revise the definition of surgery for 2019 to account for these surgery-like procedures that are outside of that normal range. CMS believes it is appropriate to expand the definition of covered surgical procedures to include these codes, because the CPT code book's classification of certain procedures as surgical should not be considered to be the final word about whether a procedure is or is not actually surgery. So in 2019, CMS is proposing some new codes that are limited to those that have been determined to not pose a significant safety risk, would not be expected to require an overnight stay when performing the ASC, and are separately paid. And the codes that are being added are all catheterization. So these are 93451 through 93461. These are all catheterization procedures, and they're all being paid at the same rate, by the way. The national rate is going to be $1,381.45. So this is very exciting. This is yet another procedure that's being added to our list. It greatly expands our system, and perhaps will have some big impact in the future as they start to identify more things that are not within that 10,000 to 69999 code series that we are so familiar with. Another thing that was changed is CMS is required to regularly review procedures that are added to the approved list to determine the appropriateness of the decision to add them. So accordingly, CMS announced in the proposed rate system here that it's going to review all procedures that were added to the list in 2015, 16, and 17 to assess the safety, effectiveness, and beneficiary experience of these newly added procedures when performed in the ASC setting. And this review would include taking into account recent clinical developments and available safety findings related to these recently added procedures. So they're proposing to review all 38 procedures that were added to the list in 2015 through 17. And you can see a list of the procedures to be reviewed in Table 41 of the proposed regulations, which, by the way, we've posted a full set of the regulations to our website at ascpodcast.com. CMS is also seeking comment about these recently added procedures from members of the public, including Medicare beneficiaries, ASC facilities, and the physicians who perform these procedures in the ASC setting. Interestingly, Sue, as I mentioned earlier, I was in Alexandria this last week at the ASC Association. I met briefly with Bill Prentice, who commented that we welcome these types of reviews because we know the outcomes and the positive effect that ASCs can have on the quality of care that is rendered to patients that have had these procedures performed. So this is, of course, a very good thing. Unfortunately, some of the press this last week has tried to make it into a bad thing. I think they tried to associate this review with that article in USA Today that came out a while ago.
Yep.
And but it, really, there's nothing to do with that. By the way, when I was meeting with Bill this last week, he did mention that the USA Today authors who wrote that article are apparently working on a follow-up article, which we expect to be released any day now.
Okay, I remember you mentioning that. We I would recommend people go back and listen to our episodes. There was episode 10 in which we did kind of a skit,
right,
you know, illustrating how people can handle a lot of questions appropriately. And then episode 29, we did an interview with a public relations consultant,
right,
that also had some good advice. So those might be things for people to look back at.
Absolutely. We've got a great message. As the CMS has recognized, mm-hmm, as part of the, you know, the changes in the quality reporting, and of course, we have every bit of confidence that in reviewing these 38 procedures, we're going to prove that we continue to do a great job in those procedures.
Yeah, I think everybody has that same thought, and it's pretty consistent with that, that, you know, people can look into things. It, you know, it just, usually it's pretty good news.
That's right.
You know, and
especially for our industry.
We just have
such a great message. There were, moving on with the other issues that were identified within the new 2019 proposed CMS regulations. There are no new technology IOLs that were requested to be included, and thus none were again added, which means that at the present time, there are no approved new technology IOLs on the list. So that's been like that for quite a while now. I think that probably is going to be like that for some time into the future. Mm-hmm. As usual, there have been some changes to the list of covered ancillary procedures. I won't go into them here because they are extensive, but you can see them in Addenda BB in the proposed fee spreadsheets that we'll have referenced on our website. And then let's talk about device-intensive procedure criteria. This sounds exciting, Sue, I know. don't get so excited about this. So for 2019, in proposing to modify the device-intensive criteria to allow procedures that involve single-use devices, regardless of whether or not they remain in the body after the conclusion of the procedures, to qualify as device-intensive procedures. So what this means is that as we know, the Medicare rates in general include the devices and implants, et cetera, all the supplies that go into the procedure. But there are certain procedures that the device is so expensive, so much a part of the service, and so much a part of the total cost of that service, that they qualify what we call device intensive. And up until now, that threshold has been 40%. So if the device costs 40% or more of the total procedural fee, then it would qualify as device intensive, and that device would be separately payable in addition to the procedure itself. Okay. So that threshold in the past has been 40%. CMS is proposing to allow procedures with a device intensive, what they call the device intensive offset percentage of greater than 30%, to now qualify device intensive as device intensive. So this is a good thing. It'll mean more and more procedures, or at least certain number of them will be included in that categorization, and it's definitely a positive move for the industry. You can see the list up on the website among all the items that we posted here for the 2019 proposed rates. So let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the rates.
One of the sponsors of the ASC podcast with John Gailey is Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. John, can you tell us about some of the services that AHS offers?
Sure. So we are a regulatory oversight organization. We basically are involved in the business of helping organizations to always be prepared for surveys and to respond to surveys, and just to become your outsourced regulatory compliance organization. We also do financial oversight too, but the stuff that's probably most pertinent to most of our listeners relates to regulatory compliance and accreditation compliance. So our goal is always to have our organizations remain prepared for surveys. And so to that end, we maintain the policy manuals. We develop educational programs. We can even do the educational programs for the organization. We oversee the quality improvement program. We write the minutes for the quality improvement program, if that's what the organization wishes. And we help run the governing body meetings, again, if that's what the organization wants, and we'll write the governing body minutes for that. We also do periodic mock surveys. We help the organization through a survey, and we'll help them respond to the plan of correction necessary after a deemed status survey. And most importantly, this is all at a fixed price that might surprise most of our listeners.
Hey, so how do our listeners learn more?
So for a free, no-obligation consultation, give me a call at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ah-strategies.com and fill out the contact us form.
Okay, thanks, John.
So we're back to talk about the rates themselves. So we discussed three of the different areas last week, and I have posted, so Sue, you know I've been spending all this time doing all those calculations on that spreadsheet.
Yep.
I know it's been kind of annoying because I've been spending a lot of time doing that. So I decided to actually post that spreadsheet up on the web for anybody to look at, and that is what it does is it compares the proposed 2019 national rates, they're not adjusted for regional differences, the national rates for 2019 to the final final rates in 2018 from the November final ruling. So let's just talk about let's just mention, first of all, what we talked about last week. So ophthalmology generally was about the same rates as last year. Gastroenterology procedures, major procedures are up between 2 and 4%. So it's pretty positive for the industry. And of course, in the past, this hasn't been so good. So really just playing catch up at this point. Orthopedic procedures, the most prevalent being the arthroscopies, they're down a little bit around 1%, and shoulders are up about 2%. Really not much of a change in that area. As we talked about last week, vascular access procedures undertook a huge hit. The procedures for angioplasty are now down more than 50% over the 2018 rates. And then the others actually in the vascular access area are actually up, but there aren't as many of those. In pain management, which we didn't talk about last week, it's actually a pretty good year. So many of the more common procedures are up about between 11 and 14%. Mm. Stimulator implants are down about 2%, but some of the electrodes that are used in those and the temporary procedures are up a little bit. So CMS is accepting comments on the new changes until September 24th, and CMS plans to release the final rule at the end of 2018 to take effect in 2019. So again, go to our website. You can download a lot of tools that we've made available, including the full regulations, all 800 some odd pages of it. The spreadsheets, some of the spreadsheets, well, a reference to the spreadsheets that you can pick up directly from the CMS website. And then I'll also be posting my comparison of the surgical rates, at least, between 2019 and 2018 for people to review. I know that ASC Association will have, or maybe they, by the time this podcast is released, will have a calculator that you can download if you are a member of the ASC Association, so you can actually calculate your direct rates. The numbers that are in my spreadsheets, the numbers that are available on the CMS website are all national numbers. They're not adjusted for regional differences. So remember, your rates could be lower or higher depending upon where you are. If you live in a high-cost area like around New York City, your rates are going to be substantially higher. If you're in a rural area, they're going to be lower than that national average. So let's talk about some of the upcoming events in the ASC industry. We've got some exciting things coming up.
Okay. Every week, we will inform you of upcoming events. If you would like your event to be included in the podcast, please send the event information to info@ascpodcast.com.
So it's important to note that the registration for the online CAPE exam, as we mentioned earlier, will be administered during the month of October at various testing centers throughout the United States. The registration begins August 1st, or did already, and it goes through the end of this month. So to register, go to www.aboutcape.org or www.aboutcaip.org.
The California Ambulatory Surgery Association, the CASA Annual Conference, is September 5th through 7th, 2018 in Huntington Beach. We will be heading out there to do a special episode.
I've been talking to Beth out there. She's the executive director for the organization. We're trying to arrange things so we can do both a special episode and our regular episode from there. So hopefully that'll come together within the next week.
I'm excited. The Ohio State Association meeting will be September 18th through the 20th at the Hilton Polaris in Columbus, Ohio.
And we'll be exhibiting there for AHS, and I think I'm doing two speeches there.
Pennsylvania Ambulatory Surgery Association annual meeting is October 1st, 2018 at the Sheraton Harrisburg Hershey Hotel in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's like a tongue twister.
And we'll be there also speaking as well as having a booth.
The New York State Association of ASC's Fall Conference will be held at the Roosevelt Hotel on October 11th, 2018.
And we are working, actually, I'm on the education committee and working on the schedule for that conference. Very exciting conference. First time we're going to be down in the city in a very long time with the New York State Association. So we have a lot of things going on, a lot of things planned, a lot of good speakers lined up. And, of course, we will be doing a podcast from down there, as we always do with the New York State Association. So,
the 5th Annual New York Metro ASC Symposium, November 2nd, 2018, at Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square.
And just a note about the New York Metro. So the New York Metro brings together people from three states around the rural or the Metro New York City area. I'll be speaking there also, and we very much encourage people to participate in this this wonderful symposium.
CASA Infection Prevention Seminar, November 7th through 8th, 2018 in Costa Mesa.
The next registration for the online CASC exam will be administered during the month of October at various testing centers throughout the United States, and that is going on right now, August 1st to the 31st, 2018. To register, go to www.aboutcasc.org. That's www.aboutcasc.org. Well, that's it for this edition of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. Join us again in 2 weeks, and please spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues, and do us the honor of hitting the subscribe button.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including the Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.